And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, y'all, Alabama. I mean, Alabama, y'all. And I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Which, by the way, is expanding, just so you know. Coming up here in a couple weeks, we go live in Chattanooga. So looking forward to adding WGOW out of Chattanooga to the Right Side Radio family. All right, listen, I got a studio full of people. And I just told JP, I said, this could get out of hand, like, real quick. No, your microphones are off, so just hang on. I can already tell. Look at them reaching for their mics. And now I am real glad to have some folks in here. Now, some of these people are people y'all already know, and one of them is a voice you've heard before but have not met. Let me just do some roll call in here. So sitting in studio with us, from my left to the right, Emily Jones, who is the host of the podcast on Right Side Media, the controversial mom. She's also the founder of Moms for Liberty in Madison. Emily, how you doing?
I'm lovely. How
you're,
are you?
You're good. Don't get too far away from that mic. There you go.
Yeah, see, my voice doesn't carry.
I'll skip the one in the middle because she's new to the crowd and go to the far right, and that would be often referred to as Lee from Huntsville. Lee from Huntsville, host of the show several times, comes in every week, does Butters and Lee segment, and I call you Lee from Huntsville. That's how I first met you, but everybody knows you as Laura Lee.
Yes.
All right. And then sitting in the middle, the person who is joining us for the first time in studio but has called in multiple times. Glad to have you here. We'll just call you D. Hey, D.
Hello. Good gracious. That was really close to my mouth.
This is gonna
hello.
Be so,
we're happy to be here.
We're going to get so out of control, I can already tell.
That's my favorite speed.
That's a good speed.
Yeah.
And D, for the benefit of the audience, you've known Laura Lee for a long time.
Yes, and since we were in high school, so last week.
So if you got stories, we might need them later, all right?
Absolutely. I blackmail pictures.
You've got my email address, just please.
I got it all, yeah.
Although I did learn last week that you both got tattoos.
Yes.
Yes.
Her idea.
Wait a minute.
It was your. You said, let's get tattoos, and we pulled over on the side of the road and went to the Brand and Iron tattoo parlor.
I recall that being a joint decision.
I just agreed. You were a bad influence.
Oh, whatever.
I was brand new out of gymnastics, and I was allowed to do something that was be considered rebellious, and that was my big rebellion.
Well, speaking of gymnastics, so you were on the University of Alabama's women's gymnastics team.
Yes.
For how many years? 3 years? Four
Roll
years?
Roll Tide.
Yeah. Okay.
I was there Roll Tide.
You were there War Eagle. That's great.
Yeah.
Great.
Four. Yeah, 4 years. Yes.
Great. And that was in what years?
Well, Phil, my goodness. It's very rude to ask a woman her age.
So how old are you?
I'm ageless. Okay. Thank you.
But you were a D1 athlete, which is always cool. And right here in the state of Alabama.
Very blessed. The Lord blessed me. He blessed me from the beginning, but I started gymnastics when I was 4 and competed until I was 21. Yeah. So it was great.
Yeah. Well, I shook your hand a minute ago, and I'm pretty sure you can crush rocks with that hand.
So. My hands and my feet have both saved my life several times.
Well, listen, that brings up where we're headed with this conversation, because Title IX, which has been a gerrymandered situation with the Biden administration, Title IX put in place for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is to preserve and protect the rights of women in the realm of education and in one part, sports. So that being said, you guys, I'm sitting here with three ladies who decided, and you know, I talk on the show all the time, and I encourage folks, get busy. Find that thing you're passionate about and go get started. In fact, my monologue earlier today was on the idea of get started. That's how the Panama Canal got built. Somebody's had to get started. You guys have started an organization, and it's just for, you know, and by the way, I've got some paperwork here for you, but Saving Title IX is the name of an organization you guys just formed, the three of you, as the incorporators for a new 501c3, and the name kind of says it all. What's kind of cool, though, is you can call it STIX, because it's ST, Roman numeral 9, STIX, STIX. Not a 70s rock band.
Which was amazing, though. We like that band.
I actually was a huge fan. So. But you guys are looking at Saving Title IX. Now, okay, let me ask you this. Biden came out, or the Biden administration, I don't think Biden knew anything about what was coming out last week. Biden's on vacation at St. Croix again, by the way, because he needed one more vacation before he left office. But the Biden administration pulled back on this awful, awful rule that would have allowed transgender participation in women's sports and all of it. Are we done yet?
That would have required it.
It would have required it.
It's still happening every day.
We're just getting started with the fight.
Right.
A hang pullback, it doesn't change anything. No. We're still going to fight this battle. You got blue states that are going to full steam ahead. They're not going to stop.
So you guys have a brand spanking new 501c3 that has work it wants to do, but the Biden administration didn't just cut the legs out from under you. You still got work to do. Okay, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I mean, from the athletic perspective, I mean, you know, I remember the day we decided to start Styx, and it was, you know, we were all on the phone together, and I don't know if it's the Lord or just me brain dumping, probably a little bit of both, but I said, if I had to compete against men, and my two best events in gymnastics were vault and floor exercise, which are the power events. There's running, there's jumping, there's tumbling. It's, you know, it's power. Those are power events. If I had to compete against men in those events, my career very easily could have been erased, like completely erased. No NCAA champion, no SEC champion, no SEC female athlete of the year, no 17-time All-American, no first black gym. Like a lot, everything could have been erased, completely erased if I had to compete against males. And we just got to talking about it, and I said, oh, what are we doing? Like, y'all know everything about sort of the Board of Education piece of this. I'm a walking testimony about what would have happened from the athletic side and what is happening from the athletic side. We just watched the IOC sanction male-on-female physical abuse in the Olympic Games this year and had two men duking it out for the women's gold medal in boxing. And one of those men was just votes for AP Female Athlete of the Year. So to say that our battle is just beginning is an understatement. And we've got some serious work to do. And I think that not the least of which will be making a lot of institutions very comfortable with what we have to say about it and what they are willing to sort of turn a blind eye to or just sort of be very about and not say anything about. That's not how we're going to move. That's not what's going to happen.
You guys had Riley Gaines come speak. I'm looking at Emily. I'm pointing. No one can see on the radio. But you guys had Riley Gaines come speak at the dinner you had for Moms for Liberty early this year. And, you know, you've got D here on your squad who has the experience of being a D1 athlete, but Riley actually had to compete against men and deal with it. And there's, you know, getting an Ivy League at Penn? Yeah.
Kentucky.
She was in Kentucky.
She was in Kentucky. That's right. She had to swim against him at Penn. That's right. That's what it was. So she got the whole schmeal because she had to compete against the guy. And if I'm not mistaken, she actually did beat him in one event. She talks at length about what it means to women's sports in general. What was it like having her here, by the way?
It was great. I mean, Riley's it's hard for me to remember that she's like 22. Like, she's a kid. And when she tried to offer a total stranger her cell phone number to communicate with in the future, it reminded me that she's 22 and does not understand the world she is now living in. But no, I mean, she's just amazing because at 22, she's fighting a battle that none of us even thought about when we were that young. And she does it very unapologetically and unafraid. And
Very poised.
She's really something for young women to look up to, of standing up and fighting, getting involved, like you always say.
Yeah.
And she's married. That makes a big difference.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it does. I mean, her husband fully 100% supports, but he was an athlete himself.
Yeah, at Kentucky.
And what's interesting, too, he's actually from Great Britain. So he brings an international flavor to this. And Great Britain may have bigger problems than we do in some of these ways.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So what I'm looking, I keep. All right. For the benefit of the audience, I got three people in front of me that I'm dialoguing with. But what is Styx going to do? What are y'all looking at? And I'm looking at Lee when I say that.
Well, we're going to do a lot, but we're mainly going to be speaking to different groups, government groups, state groups, about the effect of having biological males in women's sports, and the negative effects of how to affect sports, how it affects, just because the Title IX rules didn't go into effect doesn't mean that some states aren't already putting that into effect.
Yeah.
They're just not required to do so.
Yeah.
And So I'm just saying, I think that my phone's ringing. I think that it's going to help to guide them. It's going to help energize the groups there at the state level. I mean, because look at California. I mean, it's just full of this kind of nonsense. And I think that we can energize the groups that are already there and already wanting to fight. That's what I would do.
Yeah. What would this have done to... And you know what it's like to be on a squad or a team, mm-hmm. and how important it is. I mean, and I'm sure a lot of times the floor routines and all that were an individual doing their part, but it was still a team.
Yeah.
And the cohesiveness and the ability to work together. What do you imagine this does to the ability of a team to be a team when they have this thrust into their midst?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to say this. It's a turd in a punch bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have that level of disruption. I mean, Riley talks at length about what it was like the very first time they were all in the locker room with him.
Yeah.
And how really just unabashed he was in his arrogance about being in that space with them. And I can tell you right now, if that had been going on when I was competing, I would not have had the opportunity to compete because my parents would have snatched me out so fast,
yeah.
My head would have spun. Like, there's no way, there's no scenario where my mom and dad, brothers, sister, like, neighbors, kindergarten teacher, like, nobody's letting that happen.
Yeah.
No one's allowing me to be in that space where, you know, a girl's area, a girl's space is being invaded. And it is an invasion. And it's not just about the legality of it, right? Which is, you know, Title IX is a law. But it's also about the social contagion. And it's about the cultural contagion, right? There's a lot of buy-in culturally about this. And so that's one of the biggest things I think we're going to be pushing back about is the cultural buy-in.
Yeah.
The legal is the legal. And the, we say that we are, you know, what we prioritize is legislation and education and activation. But we are... You know, there's the legislation side, and then there's the practicality of it all, right? And the other thing that people are not talking about is the fact that there's a lot of athletes and just girls in general in, you know, locker rooms and bathrooms who have had very negative experiences with males.
Yep.
And so the trauma that this can trigger,
yep,
just by virtue of a man being in that space alone, this could have a really catastrophic effect on girls in general. Just seeing a male in their space after having suffered some traumas.
Listen, I worked, so 10 years of my adult life, we're about to go to a break, but 10 years of my adult life was spent working with kids in ministry and counseling. And there was a big chunk of that that was in an adolescent treatment center and with kids, many of whom had been abused. And it was in their chart. If this girl has been through certain experiences with men, then men do not put themselves in a position of being, not just for the men's protection, but for the young lady's protection, mm-hmm. because of the effects that of these, this, their male presence can have on them.
Yep.
It's invasive. It creates a sense of insecurity, and it shouldn't have to be. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now, and we will come right back. I got a studio full of Amazon warriors right now who are ready to go to battle on the issue of saving Title IX. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower, which, by the way, I feel like is what we're talking about. I'm in studio right now with three ladies who just formed an organization that is euphemistically called STICS, which stands for Saving Title, Roman numeral 9. So I'm here with Emily, Dee, and Lee. And listen, I got to tell you, one of the things that really gets me is that the left has pushed this mantra of transgenders and, you know, males being allowed to participate in female sports and the whole thing, and you should just accept it. Why would you question it? This is, how dare you? This is someone's truth. Question their truth. And nothing about it biologically or grammatically, for that matter, matches with what is actual truth. That being said, it was Justice Ginsburg on the Supreme Court of the United States who herself years ago, and I quoted it when I wrote a piece about Target trying to, you know, get in the idea of doing, you know, transgender bathrooms back in the, you know, 10 years ago. Justice Ginsburg said that women had a right to expect privacy and security in the places that were designed for women. And people don't realize that even Alabama, the state law of Alabama, affords a woman a right of security mm-hmm. in the places that are designed for women. So what they had to do to get around that was redefine what woman is.
Right.
Yep.
And that's why they believe they can beat up on Title IX mm-hmm. because they have redefined what woman is. So you went from having Justice Ginsburg on the Supreme Court, a very liberal justice, to now you have Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who can't even define a woman during her confirmation hearings.
Neither can the state of Alabama, just to clarify.
Right.
Three years running, we still can't define it. So,
pray tell, what do you mean?
Well, we can't pass legislation that defines male and female into law.
Oh,
so.
Okay. You're right.
So there's that fun fact.
Susan DeBose is going to do it this year. She's going to get it done.
Well, let's hope that Susan DeBose can rally up enough members to get it passed.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, they don't want to get involved. And it boggles mm-hmm. my mind.
Yep.
But I do recall. All right. You have formed, I'm pointing at Emily, you have formed a 501c3 in the past and started it from scratch, even though it kind of existed. Well, the Title IX, saving Title IX as a thought is out there. There are other champions of the issue. We mentioned Riley Gaines mm-hmm. a minute ago, and we've got others we'll talk about in a minute. But forming it from scratch, talk about the business side of that. Like, did you know what you were doing when you started?
I still don't know what I'm doing. I never know what I'm doing. I just kind of throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. No, but I absolutely no clue. The difference when I said Moms for Liberty is we had a little go-to sheet. It was literally one page that said, click here, select this box. It was that dumbed down. So I at least had a guide on this one. No clue, but... yeah, we just figure it out.
But that's the thing. You didn't have to have a clue. And we're about to take another break. We got a mandatory break. We got to take the top of the hour. But that's the thing is you guys, you started something. And my point there was you didn't know everything about it when you mm-hmm. got busy.
No.
Mm-hmm. You just had a passion for something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that in that case, the Moms for Liberty was because of what happened with your son and things you knew weren't right.
Yep.
And so you just said, let's do this thing.
Yeah, something's got to change. Why not start here?
The first time radio show, you were like almost shy. Like, okay, what do I say?
Yes, but I practiced for weeks.
Now you got a podcast and you do this thing and you're like, so the lesson learned there is that you guys are starting something right now. And I know you don't know everything about the practicalities of what you're going to do, but by God, you're going to do something. And that's the thing I think that a lot of people lose sight of is sometimes it's just having the passion and the drive to go and to do that makes all the difference in the world. Yep. Sometimes, and I don't mean like you're reckless. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes you just got to get started.
And just the put rest one foot in front of the other.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Wait, now I'm going to sing that because that was a song from like Santa Claus and Claymation. All right, listen, we're going to have a great conversation. We're going to talk about San Jose State. We're going to talk about women's locker rooms. We're going to talk about all the stuff and turds in a punch bowl. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. As Emily is like tearing up stuff here in the studio. Just just come in and wreck stuff.
My hair is all over the place, and I'm leaving it. I can't help it.
Hey, listen, I want to. I did move the camera. I apologize. By the way, we're streaming live right now. I got three folks in the studio with JP and I. It's a crowded room, but that just makes it more fun. So let me do this. We were talking about something during the break, legislation. There's going to have to be legislation in some states. And I don't think anybody should ever imagine that because we're a so-called red state that Alabama's just safe. No need to do anything here. Mm-mm. I mean, the NCAA has a presence here. The SEC has its and you can find everything from DEI on college campuses, you know, things that are being put in, like a gym, what I'm trying to say. That are here as much as they're anywhere else. You may not have some of the more vocal aspects of the liberal counterculture, which includes the men and women sports. But nonetheless, we should not take for a second the idea that it's never going to be here for granted. Your thoughts on that?
I think one of the biggest dangers with and why we are founding and starting Saving Title IX is because comment on the left is, well, it's not that common. There's not that many athletes who are, you know, competing in female sports, and there's not that many. But my, of course, perspective is, well, how many is too many?
Yeah, exactly.
We're up to 900 over covering 600 sports and 400 female athletes who have lost out because they had to compete against men. How many is too many?
Yep.
And I don't think that, to your point, Phil, I don't think that it in any way to our benefit to just get complacent and say, well, it's not hit home yet. It's not in our territory. It's not at the Alabama yet. It's not at the in the SEC yet or whatever. Actually, it is. It hit Kentucky, but with Riley Gaines. But, you know, because it's not in our exact backyard, we can't get complacent about that and say, well, it's, you know, it's over. It's somebody else's problem. No, it's every female athlete's problem if it's one female athlete's problem. And that's my attitude about it. And even though I had never had to compete against a male, I cannot imagine what it's like to actually train as hard as we train.
Yep.
For the number of years that we train. I mean, before you get to college, it's 10 years minimum. I started when I was 4, so that was 13 years in for me before I even set foot on a college campus that I've trained, worked my butt off, you know, trained 8-10 hours a day, competed, traveled, not to mention the expense that my parents had to kick out, my mom had to kick out for my gymnastics career, and that was with being a national team member, right? It's a lot of money. And so with all of that sacrifice that goes into it, if it all just sort of gets, the rug gets pulled out from under you, when you're sort of cresting, right, the pinnacle of your career, which for a lot of people, college is not a 4-year retirement party. It is very competitive. Yeah. And it is, you know, where you actually get to be on it. Some, you know, in gymnastics, for example, you get to be on a team for the first time. You know, in club gymnastics, there is the national team, you know, the USA team and the team, but that's not really the team. That's not really a team. It's a bunch of, it's several girls who are duking and fighting for each other's position. So college is a very different scenario, and being able to have, you know, that team the first time is really critical to development.
And let me ask you this. So you are obviously a star athlete at Alabama, and you're from?
I am. I'm from Huntsville.
So, but did you get recruited by other colleges outside of the state?
I got recruited by every college. I was the number one recruit in the country.
All right, so you could wind up saying, well, it's not in our backyard, and yet you get recruited by a school that very much is.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I was recruited by UCLA and Utah. I mean, the top, when I was competing, there was just a handful of schools who had won the national championship. It was Utah, it was Georgia, it was Alabama, and UCLA hadn't even won one yet. So those were really the top three schools that had won a national championship. And so it was, but overnight, My freshman class was really when a lot of national team members and Olympians were foregoing money to compete in college and to be able to have their amateur status preserved. So that I was the first class where that really happened, and it got really competitive overnight. And so I if I had been considering another school outside the SEC, which of course I wasn't, but if I had been, and that were a conversation, I would have canceled that out immediately.
All right, so Lee, we're sitting here during the break, and it was brought up that of the three of you, you're the only one who has a daughter.
Right.
So as your daughter was a high school athlete,
mm-hmm.
who had potential to have played above high school if she'd wanted to pursue that. And what, softball was it?
Softball. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, you look at this and go, okay, I'm the mom of a daughter. How would I react? How would if your daughter did choose to go down that road, and you were the mom who suddenly saw your daughter competing against a dude, what would Mama Bear say about it?
No way, because you have to think about how much stronger boys are in high school than girls. They're much stronger. And she was a pitcher, and she's pitching against a male who's hitting. Mm. He could kill her hitting her in the head, mm-hmm. you know, hitting that ball as hard. I mean, the girls injure other girls, and it's so dangerous.
Like
they're so much stronger.
Yeah.
Like the volleyball player in high school that,
still has brain damage.
Yeah, the girl's still suffering now from double vision. The one who got spiked by the, I think that was college. Was it college or high school? But it was so hard that she has double vision. She has neurological problems. I mean, it's real, and men can injure girls.
It's real. So there's the reality of potential harm. There's the reality we talked about a while ago of the lack of a sense of security and just the defying of cultural norms. And then there's the part you talked about too, Dee, with the number of years and the amount of expense that goes into it to suddenly have it ripped away from you because someone wants to pretend they're something that they're not. And that's maddening. And
it's mediocre males. They want to be a success, and so they can go into female sports and be number one. Look at the fencer that just he left male fencing, and he was like 400, and then won the women's.
Yeah, I mean the dude that competed against Riley was 240 something ranked in men's swimming, and then number one in women's swimming. I mean this is not. I mean the math ain't mathing.
It ain't mathing at all. And you know, at some point, there's going to wind up, and what I'm concerned about is if some of these schools and the NCAA, for that matter, the NCAA could take care of it right now, as a blanket organization, they could take the umbrella and say we're no longer going to sanction this, stop it, but then there comes times like what we saw San Jose State. Mm-hmm. All right, so this to me is one of the hero stories, San Jose State girls volleyball. They have a dude playing on the girls' team, and the girls don't want him on their team.
Uh-uh.
You had multiple other teams that said, you're bringing what to our match?
Mm-hmm.
How about this? We're not playing.
Mm-hmm.
There were other teams. I think Boise State was one of them. There was Utah.
Five schools, really, I think.
Five schools chose to just take the loss. We'll just go ahead and put the L in our column. We're fine. We're not playing you.
Mm-hmm. And it cost them. It cost them, you know, the chance to play for a national championship. It cost them. It cost
did.
The girls.
Mm-hmm. They did. And but here's the thing. I don't think this will change until more people, as a matter of principle, are willing to say, by God, I am not doing it.
Right.
Yep.
So stop trying to pretend that it's okay.
Yep.
I find it very telling that it was a California school. I mean, the most left of all the left states, arguably, is California. I find it interesting that it was San Jose State, which Northern California is even more leftist than anywhere else in the state. So I find it very interesting that that's the school that put their foot down. That's the group of athletes who put their foot down. Now, I don't know if they're all native Californians, but there was consensus there, and they got the backing of the program. So that's a big deal.
Now they've got skin in the game, and they're saying no.
But if I'm not mistaken, the school itself didn't support the girls. The girls had to sue the school.
Right.
So the girls on the team actually, and the coach actually had to file suit against their own school, didn't they?
Well, when I say the program, I meant the coach.
Okay.
Let's
be clear.
That's college athlete talk, you think of the program as the head coach is running the program.
Yeah.
So, that's what I was.
In this case, the athletic director was no help whatsoever.
No.
So
and neither was the NCAA.
So he now gets to do a deposition in a lawsuit. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Whoop. Yeah. Enjoy that.
All right. So we got plenty of work to do, and we got to take a break right now. Again, you guys are like, this is blowing by. This is 45 minutes already. What the heck? All right. I love it when people come
time
to the studio.
Time flies when you're pissed
off. Exactly. All right. I'm muting her mic right now. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are taking a break, and we'll come right back with the ladies of Styx. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. Hey, by the way, I just got a text a moment ago. Casey from Huntsville. We went to high school together. He just told me, I won't say his last name on the air, but nonetheless, Casey, good to hear from you, man, and great to check in. I love it when the class of 83 shows up. This is good. You are officially listed in the Ruffians Register, my friend, so good to hear from you, Casey, and yep, go class of 83. All right, so legislation. You know, we're sitting here during the break a minute ago, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, it's real easy for us to just focus on just the sports. I mean, just the sport. That is definitely a big-ticket item. That is definitely one that gets a lot of attention. The clickbait is on what's happening in the sports arena. But people don't realize that all of this floods into every aspect of what Title IX is designed to protect. And Title IX does so much more than just women's sports. It's like everything in the educational arena, things that relate to. And so it can be everything from locker room space to ensuring that girls are giving an academic opportunity that guys are getting and that no one is getting to also be offered to girls and yada, yada. So that being said, it doesn't have to all be sports-related legislation. I'm looking at Emily right now. What do you know about what we can do in state legislature that that could deal with this or have an impact?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of bills because, again, I'm going to redefine Title IX back to what Biden's called it, right? Because we're used to Title IX being sports. They made it everything plus. So, I mean, we've got legislation right now for next year that deals with not only just women's bathrooms and all that, but we now have to deal with legislation that gets gender ideology out of K through 12 schools.
Yep.
Because that's now rolled in there. Pronoun usage, free speech. I mean, this rewrite affected all of it. So we've got Susan's bill next year that's going to codify male and female into law, which will protect women's spaces, bathrooms, changing rooms, locker rooms, all that. We've got Mac Butler's bill that's going to deal with gender ideology in the classrooms through K-12, also going to deal with pronouns and flags and all the crap they stick on the walls that deal with it. You've got Scott's dad, Hagen, is passing or filing legislation that deals with drag shows in public schools now because that's allowed somehow. So there's a lot of legislation at the libraries. We've talked about that so many times, the stuff that's in the books, online and on the shelf. So there's a lot of legislation that's got to be passed in every state, not just Alabama, to combat all this. Because the rewrite from Biden may go away. It doesn't mean that the agenda is going away. Yeah. And people are still pushing that.
That's a great point. I think people need to recognize that the rewrite from the Biden Department of Education, the effort there, did not happen overnight. It didn't spring up out of nowhere. It didn't have some unilateral opportunity that arose in the mind of a Biden administration flunky. It was an outside agenda that wormed its way in and got some ground that it
started with Obama.
It was a trial balloon, really. I think just to indicate what's to come, because they're trying to normalize all of this about it. All of this is normalizing in your everyday thought, like this. Trans women are women. That if they say it enough, they want to normalize into everyone's speech, everyone's thought. Yeah. It's 1984.
It's Marxism playbook. Yeah.
It's like 1984. You go back and just redefine everything.
Yep. Yeah. We're suddenly in some kind of an episode of Animal Farm where you know, groupthink is required.
Or a Paul Harvey broadcast where he talked about If I Were the Devil. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was very prescient, by the way. Yeah. I've read that one on the air before. Mm-hmm.
He was right on.
Paul Harvey was always right on.
Oh yeah,
he was amazing.
I remember listening to him as a kid.
If I ever had somebody say you're like the modern Paul Harvey, I would feel like I was done. I had met my requirement. That's right.
Go ahead,
call me done.
Yeah. Phil, you have a daughter. Can you imagine having to worry if your daughter went on an overnight? You know, say she's in high school and she's going on a field trip. It's going overnight. Can you imagine having to worry that they might put her with a boy in her room?
Listen, so my daughter, in her sport was tennis in high school, but she also cheered. But my daughter had an Army Ranger for a dad who probably would have found means to exert himself had the opportunity arisen. But you know, I look at it like we had the situation with Space Camp last year, and my daughter went to Space Camp as a kid. And I cannot imagine sending my daughter for a week of camp not being told that they house, you know, a boy in the girls' room.
Right.
And some of them, by the way, they're not just in, like, you know, bunk rooms. They're sharing a room, and you've got a boy being now housed with a girl in a little cubby room. Mm-hmm. And that's just like layers of wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It also presumes so much. It's like, well, why would you question? What are you questioning me for?
But we now had to have legislation to prevent that. Because that's the upside down world we're in. We have to into law, and a state agency may not allow men into women's bathrooms. No, let me rephrase that. Men into girls' bathrooms because these are minors.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to have state laws for that now.
But you know what? If that's what it takes, we'll do it.
Yep. Thank you, Scott Stadhagen.
Yeah. We'll get her done. But the reality is we are at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to drink the tea, you know? Yeah. And I think that's the important piece. All right, listen, we're gonna wind up taking a break. You guys want to hang around a little bit longer?
Sure.
All right, I wanna get.
I mean, I drove 8 hours just to be on this show. I'm going right back to Charlotte as soon as we wrap. So.
Lord, wow.
I'm kidding.
She's not.
Somebody get her a T-shirt. All right, when we get back from this, what I want to do is I want you guys to tell me if all things worked out to the best that you could possibly hope for Styx. A year from now, what would it look like? All right, I want to go down that road. Let's spitball and dream a little bit on what that could mean. All right, I am sitting in studio right now with three ladies who did not sit idle. They decided to get busy. They formed the actual 501c3 entity to go out and do something that they feel passionate about, and that is basically preserving women's rights in the public arena. Why is that so controversial? I have no idea. why that would be controversial. In fact, let's be honest, it's not controversial. What's controversial is that we're having to talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean it when I say it. It's the one I'm sitting in. Don't argue with me. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gaston, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in. Just for good measure. All right, which is a big swath of the SEC. Although we got the new SEC, so there's a lot of other places now. But, you know, the core of the SEC is still here. Speaking of which, I'm sitting here with three ladies who are intent upon impacting culture, which I love. That's what I say my calling is. My calling is to impact culture. You guys have formed this organization, ST9, STICS, Saving Title IX. And we've been talking about it for the last hour. You're just getting the organization itself going, although the passion's obviously been there for a bit. All right, nothing new there. But let me just go down the line. What do you like a year from now? Best case scenario, STICS is working and doing what? Like for Emily, what are you saying?
I want us to be the advisor to legislators across the country. Advising on.
No, that's the right word.
Dictating is the right word. What legislation should look like? What are the loopholes? How do we close those? How do we really put legislation in place that protects
that's
young
cool.
girls?
And I know we talked about it during the breaks, but there are organizations that already exist that take model legislation and fan it out to the states. Mm-hmm. You know, you get in with one of those, you could see your stuff go exponential much quicker.
Yep.
All right. Very cool. All right. So legislative impact across the nation.
Yep.
All right. Dee, what are you thinking? A year from now, where would you like to see this go?
Well, considering that University of Kentucky was the first SEC school that was negatively impacted by this with Riley and the swimming scenario. And so it's already infiltrated the SEC. I would love to see Saving Title IX have presence in all SEC schools in the form of advocacy. And who I really want to see involved in that advocacy is the parents of the athletes. They are suspiciously quiet.
Yeah, they are.
And,
you're right.
And I don't know what the reason is for that. I don't know if they just don't want to upset the apple cart or what. But we saw on November 5th what happened when people stopped being concerned about what other people think.
Oh, yeah.
And telling the truth. Unabashedly and unapologetically. And so I would love to see from the athletic side, the parents of these student athletes getting real vocal and advocating for their daughters.
I think that's huge. And I think, you know what, parenting is a stewardship. And your
yes.
child is your greatest gift you've ever been given.
Yes.
And so if you're not speaking out, shame on you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, all right. So I there's two of you. Lee, a year from now, what are you thinking? What would you like to see?
I'd like to be pushing for people to run for office locally, statewide, even federal office, that care about women's spaces and women's rights as one of their platforms, mm-hmm. and push people to just get involved. It's especially local and state, they affect your life so much more than even federal politics, even whoever's the president. And just push for more people to get involved and just knowledge for them to understand. Most people don't understand how the changes in Title IX were going to affect their kids. And people need to understand what they had in mind because it's going to come back again.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming back. Mm-hmm. And they need to be able to recognize it and stand up and say, no.
Yeah. And that's how the left does it. I mean, they have been absolutely, they win the grassroots game
mm-hmm.
every time. Like, they are dominating the grassroots game on the state level and the local level. And that's where they're kicking the right's tail, you know, year in and year. They don't wait till the fourth year when it's election season.
Right.
They're doing it all the time. So we've got to get just as, I agree with you, we've got to get just as active in that way.
Well, yeah. I think that's huge. I mean, you guys labeled, that's an ambitious plan, but it's also doable. You know,
mm-hmm.
you got the idea of model legislation going everywhere and being able to advise legislators how best to accomplish, you know, what your organization stands for. You're talking about getting the parents active and engaged and being in the actual SEC schools and providing influence to the programs. And then you're talking about finding candidates to run for office who will stand up for the stuff when they get elected,
mm-hmm.
Which is huge. And also, I would say probably making sure that those who do get elected remember where they came from.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. and remind them what the grassroots cares about. And you do all that stuff, and you will change the world.
Yep.
And that's a lot of stuff.
I mean, look at the library. Look what a small group of women,
yep,
concerned, yep, and men, Moms for Liberty and other groups got together and said, we can't, you know, this can't be tolerated to have something akin to porn in the library, in the public, mm-hmm, library. And a small group made a big difference,
mm-hmm, yeah, absolutely,
in the entire state. Small and mighty can make a difference.
Well, and the one of the best examples for me is the national organization of Moms for Liberty that you're, mm-hmm, affiliated with, Emily. Two moms got uppity, mm-hmm, and decided to go ahead and say something, mm-hmm, something that nobody else wanted to hear, mm-hmm, and apparently they are now a national organization.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep,
like in a very short amount of time, too,
very
by the
short
way.
And the funny thing about Moms for Liberty is it started when it started One mom went to one school board meeting and spoke out for her child. And because of that,
yeah,
Tiffany, who was reluctant to start Moms for Liberty, went home in tears that night and called Tina and said, now is the time.
Oh,
because
wow,
one mom went and
that's
spoke
huge
out for her daughter.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, it's also about breaking ice,
yep,
and you know, empowering the parents, empowering the athletes to recognize that, oh, yeah, it is okay to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned a moment ago during the break, so I'm pointing my finger at Dee now. So, Dee, you were the first black member of the gymnastics team, the female gymnastics team at Alabama.
Yes.
You were an icebreaker way back.
Yes. You don't have to say way back.
So a million years ago.
I'm going to need you to stop doing that.
When Methuselah was a child. But you've been an icebreaker. And I don't know how that felt, whether it was uncomfortable, awkward, or felt like you were like getting a charge. I don't, mm-hmm, know how you felt, but I think this is an icebreaker moment for y'all right now, mm-hmm, with Sticks is the way it feels to me.
Absolutely. I mean, there are other organizations. One that comes to mind is ICONS, which is the Independent Council on Women's Sports. That is the organization that is actually suing the NCAA right now. So there's a lot of groundbreakers that have come before us, but I think that there, you know, as with everything, there's room for everybody to contribute what they are gifted and skilled by God to be able to contribute. And, you know, you've just heard the three of us talk about what our aspirational goals are. If we could write the script in the next year, what it would look like, and we each have different strengths where we could, you know, absolutely facilitate that happening. So there's room for everybody to sort of get in where they fit in. Mm-hmm. And there's so much work to be done that, you know, I think another one of the things we want to do is mobilize as well. I mean, yeah, we really need an army to deal with this, because, you know, tiny and mighty is great, but also there's strength in numbers, and influence is important as well.
I'll wear that T-shirt.
Thank you. Thank you. You kind of have to. You're a board member.
That's right. I am proud to be the guy who helped draft some of the paperwork for you guys and get
you
all started.
Thank you so much for that.
It's just, listen, I am more than impressed. This is exactly what this show stands for. I have, from the day we started this show and now a company that does podcasting and everything else, it was, I said, I don't want to be doing this if I'm just me talking to a microphone and nobody listens. Mm-hmm. And we've been blessed with an audience who's now got the chance to hear you guys for 15 minutes. But that's exactly what this show is about, is empowering other people. And I'm getting to watch you guys go out and empower people, which just fires me up. So thank you for what you're doing.
All glory right? to God.
Absolutely. So get her done. All right.
Get her done.
Get her done. All right. I'll tell you what, let's do. JP, let's take the break about a minute and a half early. And I appreciate you guys being here in studio with us. It means a lot having you in studio. It actually makes it more fun.
It is.
We've had a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, JP, take us to the break, brother. When I hear the music playing, I'll know we're on the way out the door. We got text messages. You guys want to text in? You can. It's 833-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And I'd love to get your thoughts and opinions on where Sticks ought to go. Are you going to play music or I just keep talking? Did I jump the gun on you? You weren't ready?
I'm telling Coach P.
We're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.